JC Corcoran Podcast.
On the other hand, the woman never tells you on the first date that she happens to drink some red wine and has some PMS, that she's capable of crimes against humanity. Yeah. So, you know, you can't blame the woman for being in a bad mood. You know, sometimes she's having a period, the chemicals are moving through there. Sometimes those chemicals mix with the chemicals in the wine, and it's like a witch's brew. A little menstruation, a bottle of Cabernet. Now you'll be wrong no matter what you say. We went out to a restaurant on her birthday, and we were having a really good time, but she was drinking red wine and having PMS, so I'm on full security alert. I know a fight's coming. I don't know where, I don't know how. I just know it'll be long, it'll be bad, and I won't know how it started. Sure enough, this waitress comes walking toward our table with the biggest bouncy waitress knockers, proving once again that tits are like the police. They're always walking in when you don't want them to. If you're looking for them, no chance. When you don't want them, boom, 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 boom. This is when your brain sends an emergency message down to your eyeballs, like, attention eyeballs, this is the brain. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We have two giant presumes closing from the south. Do not engage. Repeat, do not engage. She's drinking red wine and there's PMS. We are at DEFCON 3. I say again, two bouncing honkers are closing. Chest size, 3, 9er. Cup size, David, David, David. Do not engage those tits. But it's too late because your eyeballs are calling back like this. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, brain. Looks like we got a couple of zooms closing in from the south here. We're going to bank left and swoop in and get a closer look at this situation. So I guess I glanced at him. Across the table, here's the view.
Do you like the waitress's body? Do you think she's attractive? Because if you do, maybe you should be with her instead of me.
Go home then. This is when you hear the alarm from the end of every science fiction movie you've ever seen when a planet's blowing up and you're... And
3 minutes to total destruction.
There are 28 million possible answers to do you like the waitress's tits. All of them are incorrect. So you're sitting there going, to her boobs, did I like? No?
Why do you have to lie every second of your life? I'd have more respect for you if you acted like a man once in a while.
Attention all units, this is the brain. Do not act like a man. Repeat. Do not act like a man. I've seen this before. You're being lured into an ambush.
Jesus Christ, get everybody the fuck out of there, and I mean now.
Yeah. No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, 161 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You are JC on the line. com. Well, how was your weekend? How was your long, long time away from work? I don't know about you, but since I've been working from home, holidays don't seem to register with me the same way they did when you had to go into an office every day, because you still get up, you're still walking around your house, you're just not working. It's not as cool, no, because you knew the difference between going to work and staying home. But now if you, well, never mind. By the way, I played that opening. That was a comedian, Richard Jenny, who had all sorts of psychological problems, ended up blowing his head off. He was living with a girl who was on television in Phoenix, and he had dwindled down to, well, he was a little guy to begin with, and he had dwindled down to what looked to me to be about maybe like 100 pounds. And I remember I went backstage to see him. He was playing at one of the casinos. I think it was at the time might have been the Alton Bell Casino. And he was not himself. He didn't look right. He seemed very uneasy, you know, sort of jumpy. And about, I don't know, I guess it was 3-4 weeks later, he blew his head off. But boy, was he funny. And not only great material, but a great delivery and a whole thing. But I played that sort of as a tribute to Top Gun Maverick, which by now you've heard broke the record for the best Memorial Day weekend opening in the history of United States films, $156 million over its first 4 days. And you're like, well, that's cheating because you counted 4 days. If you take that out of the equation, it still comes out to $124 million, which is a lot of fucking money. Also the biggest opening ever for a Tom Cruise movie. See, that's what's frustrating. One of the many things that's frustrating about being a part-time, in my case, movie critic, because I didn't give it a particularly good review. But it's funny how people read things and the excitement level of people who were, you know, worked up about the fact that this movie was opening up, and they were very, very excited about going to see the movie. And so they read the review and just saw what they wanted to see in some cases, because I was getting responses from like, oh, good, I'm glad you liked it. I'm like, I didn't say I did. I only gave it 3.5 out of 5 corks. I was very critical of its lack of originality, but people see what they want to see. But now that so many of you have seen it, I can talk about it. And didn't you think it was sort of like cannibalizing the original movie? The scene in the bar with him singing Great Balls of Fire with the glasses on. And then, like I said, it wasn't beach volleyball, these sweaty, shirtless guys. These guys with these incredible muscles and tremendous bodies. This time it was like touch football. And that was really only part of it. I mean, a whole list of things where it's like, we've seen the original movie. We don't need to see it again. But like I said, people were excited about it. They went to see it, and that's that. All right. The big story over the weekend is that I'm coming back on the air. Now, for a lot of people in St. Louis, they have not heard me for the last 13 years. The last radio station I worked at was coming out of like the St. Jen area, and the signal just wouldn't reach all the way into the heart of St. Louis. In a lot of cases, we hit the fringe areas, but it had trouble in the city, had trouble in North County. And also people, you know, for whatever reason, just didn't seem to want to always go to that radio station. I don't know, maybe it's because they knew it was coming from basically out of town. That shouldn't matter, but I guess in some cases it does. I had control over, for the most part, what was played on my show, but the rest of the day, the on-air lineup was very, very weak. The music choices were not good. The station was being programmed out of Los Angeles, and it's sort of like Facebook. So, Facebook will put you in jail for violating community standards. Right? These people sitting out in Silicon Valley, 99.999% of the Facebook workers out there have never set foot in the city of St. Louis. I, on the other hand, have been on the air for 38 years. I got a pretty good idea of what the community standards are, but no, they're going to tell me what the community standards are. That doesn't make a bit of fucking sense. But everything is getting, you know, centralized, and it's not just the broadcasting industry, it's everything. I hear the same stories from people who do physical therapy or work in hospitals, or go talk to a bricklayer. I'm sure he'll tell you a story about how the whole bricklaying business has gone into the shitter over the last 10 years. It just seems like everybody has got the same complaint. But like I said, it's been quite a while, over a dozen years, since I've been on like one of the big St. Louis radio stations. Well, that is going to change because we're going to take something that doesn't even exist right now. We're building it from the ground up. And here's the story. For about the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, I guess, there's been a radio station operating out of the Westplex. rock station, FM rock station. Big signal, by the way, 50,000-watt signal. And one of the reasons people have liked it is because it doesn't play the same songs over and over again. And you'll hear lots of songs that are like, whoa, what's this? Is a good song? What is this? I have not, and you have to hit Shazam or something, figure out what it is. And it's like, it's pretty good. I might go home and download that later. The problem was that it was a little too obscure. And also, the signal dies when you hit about like Lindbergh 270, sort of around in that area, because it's coming in from the Westplex. Well, in about 10 days, that signal will begin to be, that radio station will begin to be simulcast. There's going to be a brand new signal in St. Louis that will be switched on in about 10 days. And that way, there will be complete coverage of the area. So when you're out in the Westplex, you still listen to 101.7, but if you're in St. Louis, you'll pick it up at 101.5. Now, two very important things. Please, please listen to this, because after we posted this yesterday, there were people, again, who have trouble with reading comprehension, I guess. And at the same time, this is a little unusual, so I shouldn't make fun of people, because I understand this because I'm involved in it. But if you're just sitting there going, oh, wait a minute, I don't get it, I understand that too. But none of this is on the air yet. Okay, it's not on the air yet. Won't be going on there for probably about 10 days. There'll be a brand new signal at 101.5. It's not there yet. And the music is going to be significantly altered to the point where the size of the audience is going to increase dramatically, because the songs will become a little bit more recognizable, certainly the groups. We have the largest music library in St. Louis. I do not want to get into some sort of a pissing match with any other radio station, and people will hear this and go, well, you're obviously trying to compete with Keishi. And to a large extent, that is true, but we got our own thing that we're going to be doing on this radio station. And besides, everybody at these other places in town, they're friends of mine, especially the people at Keishi, UMAM, Favaz, plus behind-the-scenes people whose names you would not recognize. These people are my friends. I like these people. There's plenty of room for everybody. Keishi's so big right now, they could lose a third of their audience and they'd still be number one, okay? So they got nothing to worry about over there. This is going to be different. It's going to be new. And in addition to the great music library, like I said, you know, most of the big successful radio stations, not only in St. Louis, but in any city, playing about 350 songs, and they just rotate them and they play them over and over again, and that's pretty much what your radio station is. And people go, oh, the repetition. I hear fucking Cold as Ice by Foreigner. It's like they play it every 36 hours. Well, you know why? Because they play it every 36 hours. The conventional wisdom, because you might be hearing this going, how does that make any goddamn sense? Well, it does make sense, because when people turn on the radio, believe it or not, and we've done, you know, so much research. And when I say we, I'm talking about the entire broadcast industry, not just me or not just this particular radio station. I'm talking about everybody. Tons and tons of research. And it's a pretty simple concept. If people, you know, go to a frequency on the dial and they don't hear something familiar, they punch out. It's the way it is. Shouldn't be. It's a shame it's that way. And you might not be like that. Unfortunately, your brothers and sisters and moms and dads, your cousins, your neighbors, everybody like that, unfortunately, that is the case. When you hear something familiar, or they move on. But in our case, we think we got a way to do this. So instead of 350 songs, we're talking about a couple of thousand songs that we will play. And maybe one of the best parts of this, certainly something that was an attention getter when the news was released over the weekend on social media, that the on-air lineup is pretty damn impressive. So Katie Cruz continues her morning show, and I'm going to start doing sports in the morning for that show. And then also I'm going to be doing that weekend oldies show. So that'll be on at 9 o'clock St. Louis time every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. JC's Roots of Rock. I'm thinking about adding a new feature called It Sucked Then, It Sucks Now. Precious and few are the moments we together share. So anyhow, that starts tomorrow, and the first oldies show will be this Sunday. As a matter of fact, we'll talk more about this as we get closer to it. And then Michelle Holliday, who has been on multiple radio stations. I think the first one I worked at with her was maybe KSD back in the 80s. So she's there. And Katie, by the way, in the morning, has her two pals, and they do a great job all chiming in, having fun. And then Michelle in the middle of the day. And afternoons is, we'll have to talk about that later. But 6 o'clock every night, the one and only Radio Rich Dalton getting another crack on the St. Louis airwaves. And Bill Neal on the weekends. It's a great lineup, great music, great concept, and great that you'll be able to hear the whole thing in St. Louis. And even if you do have some sort of issue with reception, we'll be streaming. You'll be able to pick it up on Alexa, all that sort of stuff. But again, as I said, what is on the air now in the Westplex at 101.7 is not going to be the radio station you're going to hear. And don't bother going to 101.5, which is the St. Louis signal, because it's not on the air yet. So we're all still about 10 days away from this whole thing launching. But I really do think you're going to like this. We're going to have some fun. And by the way, another important aspect of a victim of circumstance. One important aspect of this whole thing is this is only phase one of the rollout of this radio station. There will be other things happening that will augment, shall we say, the sound of the new radio station. So that's where we are. And interestingly, social media and some chat rooms and stuff like got people criticizing the radio station already. 10 days away from it going on the air, and people are already telling anybody who will listen why it's going to fail. Oh, God. People. Oh, we lost Ray Liotta since we spoke last Thursday. Great actor. How good is this guy in Goodfellas? First time I ever saw him was in a movie called Something Wild with Melanie Griffith. Of course, Shoeless Joe in Field of Dreams. But his narration, his ongoing narration throughout the entire movie, Goodfellas, as good as he was in the actual movie when he was acting, that narration, God, it was so convincing. It was so convincing. You felt like an honest-to-God, wise guy, gangster was recounting everything that happened to him in his gangster lifestyle. So that's one that we lost over the weekend. We also lost the Blues. Remember on Thursday I said, you know, you got a game six. There's a game six mentality in the city of St. Louis, and it has to do with David Freese. He ought to be out there. And I had heard that David Freese was going to either drop the puck or bang the drum, but then Layla came out, and Charles Glenn came out too. And you really felt like, you know what, they can do this. But here's what I think. The Blues got eliminated last Monday. I mean, they lost two games on home ice. But when they got humiliated in that hat trick game for Dickhead, that's when, you know, because now you'd have to not only come back, then you'd have to win three games, maybe three in a row. That's really, really tough. Can't be losing games on home ice. But I will tell you this. That game the other night was reuniting people from St. Louis all over the country. There's people that I knew back in the 80s that I haven't seen in 30-plus years. And everybody was chatting away on social media. Everybody was posting pictures of where they were watching the game from. You know, some people in Los Angeles, this guy's out of the country. This guy is in New York. This guy is in Utah. And we're all talking, and everybody's so excited. We're hanging on every play, every goal, every penalty. It was really, really cool the other night doing that. So that's the end of that. And a lot of people are cheering now for the Tampa Bay Lightning because of our pal Pat Maroon, Patrick, if you prefer. And when we got our place in Florida, I was blissfully unaware of this, that, you know, you got a bunch of sports down here. And until Tom Brady came aboard for the Bucks, it was even more defined in the Bay Area. They're hockey crazy in Tampa. I mean, nuts for hockey. I just didn't see that coming. So they got a good fan base. And like I said, you got our buddy Mr. Maroon and a lot of people who are hockey, because a lot of people stop watching hockey when the Blues get eliminated. But a lot of people who are real good, solid hockey fans and still have a lot of interest. Who is going to win the Stanley Cup? Cheering for Pat Maroon and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Speaking of Lightning, good news and bad news. Obviously, short week because of the holiday yesterday. But tomorrow morning, right about this time, and unfortunately, before you are actually set to get out of bed, middle of the night, could be some pretty noisy weather in St. Louis and across the Midwest. Big storms, and by this time tomorrow morning, it might not be much fun to be outside. And then there is the issue of Carlos Martinez. Well, a lot of people really, really excited over the weekend to see Nolan Gorman, who looks like, you know, look, he's hitting home runs and knocking the cover off the ball. He's brand new. He'll go around the league a little bit. The scouts will figure out where the hole is in his swing, and, you know, he'll come back down to earth. But it sure is fun now because they don't have him figured out yet. And he's just blistering these pitches. I forget which day is which now. Whenever there's a long holiday, I never know what day it is. I'm always confused. But in one of those games over the weekend, what did that ball go? Like 460 feet? He hit it like to dead center in an area in the center field bleachers. I don't think I've ever seen anybody hit a home run since Mark McGwire. But when you can drop the bat head a little bit, ooh, you can really, really put some distance on those things. So you got that going on. But Carlos Martinez, who the Cardinals finally got rid of during the offseason, nothing but trouble. One of the most live arms I've ever seen in a Major League Baseball pitcher, but just a fucking goof. Just a goof. And if you were like unplugged, which a lot of people do, people hit a long holiday weekend, they're like, I'm putting my phone down, I'm not looking at it again until Tuesday morning. If you're one of those kinds of people, 80-game suspension for some sort of human growth hormone found in random drug testing in the case of Carlos Martinez. His career probably is over. He's only, what, 30? He's either 30 or 31. So in theory, if he could get his head screwed on right, there's a possibility the guy could still come back. He's got another, you know, 5-6 years left in his arm. You know, maybe he hits rock bottom during this 80-game suspension, gets his shit together, and just finally come, you know, could be comeback player of the year type guy. That probably won't happen. Like I said, he's a fucking goof. You don't need me to tell you that. So it's official. I cannot turn my back on... Well, let me tell you the story first. So my daughter, and a lot of you have been asking, you know, we haven't seen much of her artwork lately, and we're going to fix that today. I got some stuff I'm going to post today, and you're going to lose it when you see what she's drawn these days. It's incredible. She's 12. But she has this new friend from school, and they're out of school now, but a school friend. And, you know, you should invite them over for dinner. Like, them, who's them? Go, well, her and her mother and father. And up until now, we've only, oh, hi, how you doing? What's your name? Okay, yeah, we love your daughter. She's welcome here anytime. And that's pretty much the extent of the conversation you have with the parents sometimes. But my 12-year-old was like, oh, have him come over. We can be in the pool. We can do this. We can do that. Okay, fine. So we had him over yesterday. And my wife bought one of those Traeger smoker grill things. Now, we had one at our house in St. Louis, but we didn't have one in Florida. So she went to Facebook, that buy, sell, trade thing, got a beautiful Traeger smoker. I don't know how much this thing would cost brand new if you bought it in the store, but we got it for a couple of $100, and it just works magnificent. So I put the ribs on yesterday, and these ribs came out, honest to God, tasting like candy. Lots of falling off the bone jokes. It's funny the things you remember. This happened probably 12, 15 years ago, but I remember doing that in the studio with John Hewlett and Laurie Mack and Jen Sparks, and I remember making that joke. How many of us have, show of hands, how many of us have fallen off the bone? And Jen and Laurie raised their hands, and I just about pissed myself. I was laughing. It's just so funny, the things that you remember that take place in a radio studio. Like, I've been telling this story for years. We used to do this thing called Stir Crazy. Now, this is back in the Casey days, okay, in the old Morning Zoo days. So it was me and DJ, and I forget, there was somebody else in the studio with me. And John Hewlett used to not show up until 6:45 every day. The show would start at 6 a.m., but John had this arrangement with the radio station that he didn't come in until 6:45. So we're doing this. We're in the middle of this bit at like 6:40, and I'm setting it up. And stir crazy was this bit when people would send us recipes, and then we would pretend to make them on the air. But the whole joke every time was that we had this banjo music, and we had all these pots and pans, and all, and we would just make as much noise as possible. And if it said, you know, 1 teaspoon of Tabasco sauce, you would hear a sound effect. Sound like we were putting a gallon in, you know. And it was just, that was the bit. It was just overdoing everything. And then it's like, and now it's time to go stir crazy. And with this crazy ass banjo music playing, we would be, you would just hear pots and pans rattling, and it just sounded like the entire cabinet of silverware, dishes, and glassware were being thrown on the floor. And it was just really, really funny. So we're in the middle of doing one of these things once. We're in the middle of doing this, and John walks in to the studio. Keep in mind, nothing's going on. We're not actually cooking. It's all just sound effects. And John walks in and goes, can I lick the bowl? And I said, well, John, we just started with this. There's nothing in the bowl yet. And he said, that's okay. He's going to lick an empty bowl. Oh, God. So anyhow, the family that came over had one of those thermal pouches because the woman, the mother, made some potato salad, which was fantastic, by the way. And she brought that along and then put the little, you know, thermal pouch on the floor in the corner. And we just left it there. So when we finished the meal, I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to keep your potato salad because it was really good. But we're going to give you some of our pasta salad. Put that in a bag. And here's some barbecue sauce. And here's the remaining ribs. And, you know, I would say it's maybe like 6, 7, 8 inches long slab of what was left over from the ribs. We'll give you those too. Put those in a pouch, put that in the thing on the floor, stuffed away in the corner. And we went out to the back deck and sat by the pool and drank and listened to music and just had a nice time. Now it's like 8 o'clock at night, time to go home. And they pick up the thermal bag, and I go, okay, now remember, get this stuff in the refrigerator when you get home. Here's the barbecue sauce. Here's the... Wait a minute. I put a bag of ribs in here. Where are the ribs? I mean, look in the refrigerator. I'm thinking, did I think? I put it in the thermal pouch. I could have sworn I put it in there. Look in the refrigerator. No ribs. Girls, did you have the remaining ribs and not tell us? No, we didn't have any more ribs. I'm looking around. Oh, Jesus. Where's the dog? You guessed it. Luna was eating good in the neighborhood last night. She ate a quarter slab of ribs for dinner last night. And interestingly, we didn't find much left. She had torn into the bag. Obviously, we could see that. There were just maybe, it was like a rib and a half left. Which means she not only ate the ribs, she ate the bones too. So we're going to have some interesting poops around here today. How is your Tuesday so far? Today is the anniversary back in 1984 of a day I will never forget. I had never done anything like this. I guarantee I never will again either. So I'd only been in town, oh God, a week or two? Back in 1984, and a bunch of the guys were like, oh, yeah, you know, the station has a softball team. Do you play? I'm like, damn right I play. Okay, we're going to have a game Saturday morning. Oh, good. Who are we playing? Oh, we'll explain that to you later. Okay, we'll just meet at the Steak and Shake up there at 141 and 44, and then we'll move on from there. We're going out to, well, it's west of here. Okay, all right, fine. I'll see you Saturday morning. I get there, and they're like, who are we playing again? Oh, we're playing this prison. I said, huh? Yeah, we're playing these guys in prison. They wrote us a letter. They're big fans of the station, and so we told them to come out and play. And then, of course, I think, well, it's got to be okay. I mean, they've checked the whole thing out. I'm sure it'll be safe. So sure enough, we get out to Pacific, and they didn't strip search us, but it wasn't far from it. And we played, I want to say we played 3 games. We didn't dare win, by the way. We're not stupid. And then between the second and the third game, we broke for lunch, and these guys were coming around to the softball field. They weren't the softball players. They were coming from, like, the other side of the prison yard. And they kept saying, you got to come and hear our band. Got to come and hear our band. Like, all right, we get it. At the end of this game, we'll come into the pavilion area, and we will come and we will listen to your band. We could hear them playing from the other side of the prison yard. So we finished game two, go out there, some delightful prison food. Ugh. And the band is playing. Once these guys realize that all of us, you know, again, this is me and the U-Man, guy who worked at KSU for a long time, Vince Richards. He was a good softball player. A bunch of other guys, all from the station, sales guys and things like that. Once these prison guys realized, you know, this is the band realized that we were all there, they break into an Ozzy Osbourne song. The lead singer reaches into his pocket. He has a bullfrog, and he bites the head off the bullfrog and spits it out. And I'm like, get me out of here. And then I was shocked at how little official supervision, safety, prison guards, you know, stuff like that, how little of that there was. And I remember thinking to myself, if I slid into second base in this softball game and the second baseman, who's in prison, didn't like it, he probably could have killed me five or six times over before the nearest prison guard, a guy with a gun that I saw, at the other end of the complex. By the time he would have gotten over and said, hey, Knuckles, leave that brittle bone DJ alone. I'm dead already. We got the hell out of there. And to the guy who organized the game, I was like, you might want to tell me next time. I'm new. I've only been with the station like 2 weeks. You might want to tell me next time who we're playing. I wasn't sort of like psychologically prepared for it. On this date, 1986, it was Yakov Smirnoff and our pal Ruth Guerry, the July 82 centerfold for Playboy magazine from St. Louis, doing the blood drive. That was fun. Spike Lee came to St. Louis for the express purpose of talking to me back on this date, 1989, with a movie called Do the Right Thing. We did the interview, went back to the airport, got in the plane, and went back to wherever he was going. And it was on this date in 1998, the best television show in the history of television, The Larry Sanders Show, did its final episode as Clint Black sang A Bad Goodbye. We'll talk about this San Francisco Giants manager Gabe Kapler thing tomorrow. More on Top Gun. I'm sure it'll probably make another $20 million between just since I started the podcast. The 17th season premiere of America's Got Talent tonight on NBC. Bill Burr. I'm with Jimmy Kimmel tonight. Everybody else is off. Birthdays today. Colin Farrell. Tremendous actor. You got to see a movie called In Bruges. In Bruges. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. Colin Farrell, just fabulous in it. He's 46 today. Brooke Shields, 57. Corey Hart wears his sunglasses at night, 60. Leah Thompson, Caroline in the City, Back to the Future. Sweet gal. Had her on the air back in the 90s when she was in St. Louis promoting a bunch of stuff. She shot a movie, actually, in St. Louis, and she showed up also for the Planet Hollywood thing. She's 61 today. Chris Elliott, one of the funniest people walking the face of the earth, 62. Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm, 67. Tom Berenger, I went to high school, maybe about 4 or 5 miles from where he did, 73 today. Joe Willie Namath, Hall of Fame quarterback and big fan of Susie Colbert, 79. One half of Cagney and Lacey, Sharon Glass, 79. And Clint Eastwood, still talking to that empty chair at 92. And if you saw Top Gun, you already know they used a lot of artificial intelligence technology to help recreate Val Kilmer's voice for the new movie. They used some of that technology, by the way, to make it look like Tom Cruise could see over the top of his cockpit. And with that, that's it for the J.C. Quarkman podcast for Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. 161 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock. We archive everything. You may email me at JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We'll have more details as we get closer and closer to the arrival of our new classic rock and Americana station in St. Louis. Very, very soon. We're only a couple of days away now. And I'll let you know more when I know more. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.